apologize for the technical difficulties that we are having today. We are trying to live stream, and the preacher remembered to turn off his cellular service and fixed it so I'm in do not disturb mode. So I'm amazed that I remembered that I was able to make the phone not call. And all that time, I forgot to turn off the blank screen thing that makes it go to sleep after 5 minutes. And so, I know that some of you were trying to get things set up at home before you came this morning, and I apologize for the frustrations on all that. We also have taken measures to be able to broadcast this to anyone even that doesn't have Facebook, and we have, I don't know if it's going out or not, I don't know if it's working, but we will try our best to have all these bugs worked out before next Sunday morning. We do appreciate everybody being here today. It's so good to see all of you. We've got a lot of folks that have decided to shelter in place this morning and to worship online with us, and we appreciate you being with us. We do have had people watching from many places in this country and participating in our worship over these last few weeks. We do also appreciate those of you that have continued to mail in your contributions to help us keep the mission works going and the other projects and ministries going that this church has been involved in for so long. The collection plates are at the back door. If you'll just drop your collection or your contribution in on your way out this morning, that will be very helpful. And of course, those of you watching from home, we do appreciate your continuing to mail in those contributions so that we can continue doing the good work that God has given us to do. If you'd like to open your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, this will be our passage, our text this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We're going to look at verses 7 through 12 and then verses 16 through 18 as our text this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 7 through 12 beginning. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. We are hard pressed on every side. We are yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So then death is working in us, but life in you. Now, verse 16. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Walls are everywhere. Have you noticed? If you live in a house, you are familiar with walls. You may not notice them, you may not pay attention to them, but the walls are what holds the roof up. The walls contain all your stuff in your house, and the walls help keep out the stuff that you don't really want in your house. Walls are just part of life. There's a lot of kinds of walls. There's the Great Wall of China. Many of you will remember the Berlin Wall in Germany that divided East and West Germany. Of course, in Jerusalem, there is the Wailing Wall, where they weep over the loss of control of their city and their country. And of course, we're all thankful for the walls that are in zoos that keep us separated from the wild beasts that we like to look at and examine. I've seen some hilarious videos where the lions are behind the glass case And the kids are up there looking at it, and the lion charges the case, and the kids jump back, or charge the glass, and the kids jump back. Yeah, it's a great thing there's walls in the zoos. But the primary purpose of a wall, is a barrier. Some walls keep things out, some walls keep things in. Now, the Wailing Wall and the Vietnam Wall, these are memorials, and that's not your typical use for walls. Normally, a wall is simply a barrier. It sets boundaries, and it limits movement in a specific direction. Some walls can be easily knocked down. Others are practically immovable. So when something happens in our life that stops us cold, like what has happened in our nation and in our world, in these last 3 months or 2 months. When something happens, we sometimes say, I've run into a wall. A more modern phrase is, I've hit a wall. And that's what runners will say when they've run as far as they can run and they can't take another step. They say, I've hit the wall, or I've hit a wall. Walls stop us. Walls hinder us. They frustrate us. They limit our actions. They affect our attitudes. And they also prevent us from seeing what is ahead, what is beyond the wall. God's word says, for we walk by faith and not by sight. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. So we're serving the Lord. We're doing his will. We're doing the work. We're trying to live for him. And suddenly, we hit a wall. We run into a wall. And it could be a difficult boss. It could be a hard-hearted mate. It could be a health crisis. It could be the loss of a much-needed job. It could be the death of someone that you depended on in your life. And the list could go on and on. Walls. How we deal with walls is really a matter of perspective. I'm not trying to minimize the suffering and loss that people feel when someone they love passes. I'm certainly not trying to minimize the pain and suffering that comes from the loss of a job or loss of health. And I'm certainly not saying that your feelings don't matter, but I am saying that we must maintain a proper perspective whenever we hit a wall of any kind. James 1 verse 2, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Count it all joy. It has to be a determined choice. You count it all joy. In Philippians 4, verse 4, Paul says, rejoice in the Lord always. By the way, he wrote that from prison. Again, I will say, rejoice. And as we saw in our text, Paul wrote, we are hard-pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. We are persecuted, but not forsaken. We are struck down, but not destroyed. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 8 and 9. And then he went on to say in verse 18, we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. The fact is, hardships, disappointments, and difficulties in this life are going to happen. We know that. Your life may be like the old song, rainy days and Mondays always get me down. Well, don't give in to those feelings. Don't give in to those feelings. I'm not saying don't feel that. You feel what you feel. And your feelings are neither right or wrong. They are what you feel. But don't give in to those feelings. John 16, verse 33, Jesus said, these things I have spoken to you that in me you may have peace. In the world, you're going to hit walls. Now, I know Jesus didn't say those words. But in the world, you will have tribulation. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. The wise man Solomon wrote, in Ecclesiastes 9 and verse 11, I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, nor bread to the wise, nor riches to men of understanding, nor favor to men of skill, but time and chance happen to them all. What's that saying? It's saying no matter what your talent level is, no matter what your skill level is, no matter what your wealth of money or material things or your wealth of education may be, no matter about your wealth of experience that you may have, no matter how much wisdom you may have attained in a lifetime of learning, of trial and error, success and failure, no matter what all you may have accomplished in your life, you're going to hit a wall. You're going to hit a wall. It's unavoidable. Life sometimes throws up a wall right in front of us. How do we respond to walls? Do we give in to negative feelings? You know, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14, 15. Pursue peace and holiness, looking carefully. Watch now. Looking carefully lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble, and by this many become defiled. We have to be on guard against a root of bitterness, against negative feelings, giving in to negative feelings. We're going to feel negative feelings. We're going to feel them. We're going to feel resentment toward China. We're going to feel resentment toward our government. We're going to feel resentment toward the health and wellness industry, the pharmaceutical industry. We're going to feel resentment toward a person who mistreats us. We're going to feel negative feelings toward someone who treats us badly. It's going to happen. We're going to feel it. Don't give in to those negative feelings. Don't let those feelings control you and cause you to sin. Beware lest a root of bitterness spring up causing trouble. Who for who? For you. For you. Because by this many become defiled. God tells us in Ephesians 4:31, let all bitterness and wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. So do we give in to negative feelings? Is that how we face a wall? I hope not. What about allowing negative feelings to be heard, speaking them out, broadcasting, pronouncing and announcing our negative feelings? That's a little worse, isn't it? Because before it's something you had internal, and it was just between you and God. But when you start talking, now you're involving other people. When you start speaking, now you're getting other folks involved, and you're widening your circle. And you're exposing yourself to more people that you can sin against. Ephesians 4:29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. Philippians 2:14, do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation among whom you shine as lights in the world. It's much better for us to shine as lights in the world than for us to bring others down, than for us to be those who bring people or draw people away from God. We will become blameless, harmless, children of God in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation if we avoid the complaining and the disputing, the evil speaking, the negative feelings that we express. If we do these things, this will help us to be lights that are shining in a dark world. And finally, do we panic because of fear and anxiety? By the way, you know when a preacher says, finally, that don't mean anything, right? You know that, right? Yeah. That's the finally of this point, all right? Not the finally of the sermon. Do we panic because of fear and anxiety? Do we? Philippians 4:6, Paul wrote that we should be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. Again, here's another one of the situations where you're going to feel anxiety. I was totally feeling anxiety when I got here this morning, trying to get this thing operational, trying to get this working. Ken and I were working on this, and both of us were sweating, and it wasn't working right. And so I was stressing. We feel it. How we respond to it is where we will either sin or where we will shine as light in the darkness. How we respond to it. And so when we face a wall, we have to respond the right way. Hebrews 10:39, we are not of those who draw back to perdition, but of those who believe to the saving of the soul. Brethren, life happens. And sometimes it brings pain and fear and uncertainty. And our job is to keep the right perspective. Our job is to be focused on the eternal rather than on the temporary. Now, let me tell you something. I know life sometimes will put up a wall, but faith can see through any wall. Are you listening? Faith can see through any wall. To keep on going, we sometimes need to see beyond the wall that stands in front of us. When a wall is put up, it's so easy for us to just stop and feel like giving up. That's where a window comes in. When you've got a window, you can have a solid wall, but if you've got a window in that wall, that allows you to see what is beyond the wall, doesn't it? And brethren, I'm just telling you right now this morning, faith will put a window in any wall. Faith will put a window in any wall. 1 Corinthians 10:13, you know this. In fact, you know all these verses I'm about to share. These are the encouragement passages that we all need to remember. And we need to use these whenever we're feeling pressured, closed in, trapped, defeated. No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. 1 Corinthians 10:13, Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. Hebrews 4:16, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And 1 Peter 1:6-7, in this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, that the genuineness of your faith may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Whatever happens around us or to us, faith will help us put it all into perspective. Faith will help us realize, like our old buddy Steve Martin likes to say, God has got this. God has got this. And that will help us endure whatever wall we have to face, whatever roadblock is put into our path, whatever setback we have to deal with. Faith will help us find the strength to keep going even when life changes our plans. Even when we hit a wall and we can't go any further, life forces us to change our plans. Hebrews 12:1-2, it says, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, this is, of course, after the Hebrews 11 Faith's Hall of Fame, the listing of these great Bible heroes and their accomplishments because of God's love and his help. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily ensnare us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Moses had led the children of Israel for 40 hard years. 40 years. They didn't plant crops. They didn't harvest anything. 40 years they had to depend upon God for food and water. For 40 years they didn't have a home with foundations. They lived in tents, in a tent city that they set up at the end of every day that they moved. And on some days they didn't move. On the Sabbath day they did not move. But then on Sunday they'd pack up and move again and go to another place. And they wandered around for 40 years. And Moses led them through this whole ordeal. Can you imagine more than 2 million people? And that number only grew as time went on. 40 years. How many will 2 million become in 40 years? 40 years he led them. And they have finally now come to the promised land. And then on Mount Nebo, Moses ran into a wall. He ran smack into a wall. God said, because of your sin back in the wilderness, you remember when he struck the rock and tried to share the glory of God with himself? And God said, because of your sin back in the wilderness, you cannot lead the people into the promised land. You have to stop right here. But I want you to know that God gave Moses a window in that wall. He let Moses see the promised land. He let him see it. And then Moses died. And God buried him himself. The only recorded case in Scripture of God burying someone. And Joshua wrote the end of this chapter. The end of Genesis. The end of Deuteronomy chapter 34. Joshua took pen in hand and wrote these words. There has never been a prophet like Moses. Never has been anyone who has seen the face of God, who has seen God, who's worked with God face to face. There never was another one like Moses. And yet Moses hit a wall. And God let him see what was beyond. In James chapter 1 verse 2, my brethren, again, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. When you run into a wall, faith, your faith, will put in a window. And by faith, you can see the will of God being worked out in your life, even beyond the wall. Hebrews 6 verse 11, and we desire that each of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end, that you do not become sluggish, but imitate those things through faith and patience, inherit the promises. Imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. When you hit a wall, faith will give you a window and you can keep going. Yeah, you can't go around through that wall. You're going to have to go around. It's going to change your direction. It's going to change your plans. Things aren't going to work the way you anticipated. Things don't often work the way we plan, do they? This thing today, this morning, is a classic example of that. But the reality is that if we have faith in God, if we put our trust in Him, He will see us through. James chapter 1 verse 12, blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Now there's one more thing. There's something more than walls and windows. This is the last thing I'm going to say this morning. God sometimes will open a door in the wall. He will sometimes open a door for you through that wall. The apostles were in the outer court of the temple. If I remember correctly, on the east side of the temple at Solomon's porch. And they had been preaching Jesus. And they'd been healing the sick and casting out demons. And word spread and people brought their sick and possessed from other cities and brought them to the temple. And Peter and the other apostles healed every single one of them. And all of this commotion infuriated the Jewish leadership. The high priest got the Sadducees together. They went out and they arrested all of the apostles. And they put them into the common prison. This all happened in Acts chapter 5, in verse 19 and 20. But at night, an angel of the Lord opened the prison doors and brought them out and said, "Go stand in the temple," same place you were, "go stand in the temple and speak to the people all the words of this life." God can open prison doors. God can open doors anywhere. In 2 Corinthians 2 verse 12, "Furthermore, when I came to Troas to preach Christ's gospel, and a door was opened to me by the Lord." Isn't that wonderful? God opened the door. Now, didn't Jesus tell us in Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 through 9, "Ask and it will be given to you"? Didn't he say, "Seek and you will find"? Didn't he say, "Knock and the door will be opened unto you"? By the way, where are doors? You don't have a door outside, do you? Doors are in walls. They're in walls. God is the one who will open a door. Walls often bring sadness and misery, pain and sorrow. But by faith, we can have joy in the midst of sorrow. My brethren, count it all joy. James 1:2. We can have peace that passes all understanding. Peace in the presence of pain. Philippians 4 and verse 7. And we can believe what the eyes cannot see. 1 Peter 1:8. Whom having not seen, you love. Though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory. So hang in there. Trust me, your plans are going to change. Things will not always go like you planned, but God will lead you home. When life puts up a wall in front of you, faith will put in a window, and sometimes God will open a door. If you're not a Christian, you don't have those promises. You don't have something that you can rely on. You're by yourself. You're facing all of this alone and by yourself if you're not a Christian. You need to be a child of God. If you believe Jesus is the Son of God, then repent of your sins, confess your faith in him, and be baptized in water for the forgiveness of your sins, letting the blood of Jesus wash your sins away. And then you're raised up to walk in newness of life. Just like Jesus was raised from the dead, so you are raised from spiritual death to walk in newness of life. And if you're already a Christian but you've not been faithful to your Lord, maybe you've let the walls cause you to be all negative and despondent and give up and you've just quit trying, or you've been rebellious and indifferent toward God. You need to repent and come back to him before it's too late, because I'm telling you, the walls are still going to come. But only God can open the doors. And you need his help. So I want to encourage you, if you're not a Christian, become a child of God. And if you're already one but not faithful, rededicate your life to God today. Whatever your need, if there's a way we can help you, we encourage you to come if you need to, as we stand and as we sing together.